following program is sponsored. The opinions and statements made by the hosts and guests do not necessarily reflect the views of WBOB or its parent company, the Chesapeake Portsmouth Broadcasting Corporation.
1.7 billion were there for his birth. 220 countries tuned in for his first step.
Woohoo!
The world stood still for that stolen kiss. And as he grew, so did the technology. Broadcast live and unedited to an audience around the globe.
Cool, man.
Coming to you now, enclosed in the largest studio ever constructed, and along with the Great Wall of China, one of only two man-made structures visible from space. Now, it's...
I'm speaking plainly with Bill Hay.
Where did that come from? I did not authorize that. But thank you. Thank you. Thank you. You guys can take your seats now.
Yeah, okay.
Anyway, you're welcome back to I'm Speaking Plenty, and we're having a good night here. It's a relaxing evening. One more week further away from the I don't know whether we're going to be live next Saturday night or live next Sunday night. I think we're live next Sunday night. I think there's one more FSU late game next week on Saturday. So this frosty, by the way,
sorry,
you know, everybody wants to know what we're eating when we come into the studio every week. We've got something new. Tonight was Krispy Kreme donuts, and Karen showed up with frosty milkshake. So the chocolate, yeah. Frosty milk, yeah, it's good.
You forgot the whiskey.
No. Sorry, it hasn't been that bad today yet though.
Give it time.
We'll get there. You know, we've seen a lot in the news recently. People have forgotten about Florida and South Florida and Irma and some of the things that we went through in the last few weeks. And most people are concentrating on Maria and the effects left behind for Maria, and most specifically those in Puerto Rico. And now, as time goes by, just in the last couple of hours, more and more people are coming forward. Have someone here who says, I am in Puerto Rico. I am on my cell phone. I am hotspotting my laptop, and I am getting aid from FEMA, from the United States Army, Navy, and Marine Corps, and I am recovering. Do not listen to the media that tells you that we have been forgotten. Mm-hmm. And that's from a person who is actually in Puerto Rico. And you had something similar posted on your Facebook page.
Yes. There are reports coming out, and there's reports coming out from all over the place. What's his name? Geraldo. Geraldo, mm-hmm. Rivera. Not exactly your bastion of Trump
honesty
support.
And-
but he posted that, hey, folks, there's supplies here. There are people here. I don't care what the media is telling you. Trump has indeed reacted well, and there's tons of food and supplies and personnel on the ground.
Wow. Okay. Well, there was a lot of damage to roads, highways, infrastructure.
Absolutely.
And the fact that everyone has jumped on, and for some reason or another, the fact that the volcano is going to erupt in Mexico is Donald Trump's fault. The fact that there wasn't aid down there ahead of time in Puerto Rico was Donald Trump's fault. I had a discussion with someone that's been on this show last night. She happens to be in town, Maggie Margaret. She is the mother of someone that I am good friends with. And she's from Virginia, the bastion of liberalism in our country here, just an hour outside of Washington, D.C. And it's just completely livid at the fact that it took 6 days after knowing that the hurricane was, you know, 3 days out of Puerto Rico, why it took so long to get the hospital ship Comfort and the hospital ship Hope. Comfort just left Norfolk, Virginia yesterday, I guess, and is on its way to Puerto Rico. Well, the reason is that whenever there's a hurricane coming to an island, we don't necessarily send ships and planes and things there
exactly
ahead of time
so that they can be
destroyed. Even in Mayport, the ships leave and go out to sea
exactly
rather than staying tied to the docks. It's just pretty much common sense.
Yeah.
I do have to kind of rationalize a little bit about what Donald Trump is being accused of saying, and it was taken out of context. They kind of cut and paste. You know, we have Photoshop for pictures now. The news media is basically using cut and paste to move sentence structure around and words around to make people seem like they say one thing when in actuality, if you heard the whole conversation, it was something else. But Donald Trump was accused of saying the other day that all they want, that they all want their hands out, or they all want it to be done for them. When you go back and you listen to the actual context of what he said, it was, we will do everything for them, and they want it done in such a way as to where this will not happen again. And he was speaking specifically of the electric grid that had not been modernized and updated since World War II.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, it's amazing the distortions that are, that occur every day.
When you cut and paste those sentences together, you can get a sentence that says, Donald Trump says they want everything done for them.
Right.
Well, yeah, they want it done and modernized at the same time, so that should a storm come back again. You know, I'm amazed that in today's modern American city, that more of our electric grid isn't underground. And whenever, instead of all of the lines that were torn down this particular hurricane issue, Irma, why we didn't select certain areas of the city, and instead of just going back and hanging brand new copper for the next hurricane to tear down, why we didn't go in there with trenchers and go ahead and start burying the stuff underground to begin with, and then we don't have to come back and do those lines again?
Good question, except that I guess the expense would have been, I don't know, fivefold, tenfold, I have no idea how much more. But
I was very blessed with this particular instance, because there is a type of primary wire called tree wire, and I was really fortunate to have the previous JEA forester, Mike, was a friend of mine, and I got him to hang tree wire along my property, which is most of one street in the neighborhood. And so when stuff like owls or sticks or small branches fall on the line and happen to short the ground, it doesn't cause the power to go out, doesn't break the wire, it doesn't start a fire. So I've been very blessed this last time, and I think if the expense were there to put tree wire up around all of the areas of the city where we still have majestic old oak trees, like along Mandarin Road and Orange Picker Road and some of the other places, that JEA wouldn't be spending as much time down there stringing new wire every time
That's a good point. That seems relatively inexpensive compared to moving everything underground.
Well, it is. It's still expensive, though. Primary copper is maybe a dollar, and this tree wire is about $11 a foot.
Ooh.
Yeah. So
wow.
Quite a bit of difference in cost. Mm. But worthwhile if you don't have to have a crew out there in the rain and in the wind and putting themselves at danger.
That's true.
So moving forward from there. We're almost recovered. We're almost back to normal. The garbage is still on the street. I don't think they're going to make their 45-day. They originally said that within 45 days, our streets will be clean. I think that was overly optimistic.
Maybe.
So we had a caller in.
But
we had
a caller
here on the station that said that they thought they were overly optimistic. We'll go to the phone lines here for the end of this break and talk with Jay. Jay, good evening and welcome to I'm Speaking Plainly.
Good evening. How are you?
Oh, it's another day in paradise, brother. Woke up on the right side of the dirt.
Great. I think it's hilarious that the mayor in Puerto Rico just keeps talking and talking. 2 days before she blasted Trump for nothing, she had made a statement that FEMA was on, you know, doing a great job and all this stuff, and all of a sudden, evidently, she got talking notes for points from somebody.
Yeah.
Right. Well, that's the thing. It's get your point across and then make sure it's somewhere along the line you make people know that it was Trump's fault.
Right, and she was standing in front of she was standing in front of a bunch of bottles of water and food and stuff.
Right, yeah. Right. Mountains of supplies behind her.
Nobody said it. Nobody ever said a politician had to be intelligent. All they have to do is be photogenic. And I saw that poster they were talking about. Jay, thank you for your call tonight. It had a lot to do with a little backpedaling, I think, on her part, between the governor only wanting to hire Puerto Rican truck drivers so that the Puerto Rican families can still have income coming in for being the truck drivers down there. There's plenty of trucks to be moved for everybody. You could import truck drivers. You're listening to I'm Speaking Plainly. I'm your host, Bill Hay. Karen Morton joining me in the studio along with Holly and Tom over there in Master Control. We'll be right back.
Let's get back to I'm Speaking Plainly.
What you got to say?
To join the conversation, call 222-TALK.
Say, hey, hey, hey.
That's 222-8255.
What you got to say?
Once again, here's Bill Hay.
Good evening, Jacksonville. Welcome back to I'm Speaking Plainly. The phone lines are open now for, dare I say, regular people.
Dare you say.
Do we always have regular people
not
just calling?
Always.
Okay.
No.
Phone lines are open. 222-TALK, 222-8255. Holly Lowe in the studio telling me all the stuff she's got planned for us next week and the week after that and the week after that. And what did you say? You said October was completely filled and you have everything all done and you're ready to move on?
I think that was it.
Yeah, that was it.
Yeah. I want to.
I do know that the 14th is the birthday extravaganza.
Dun dun dun.
Now we need
to have Tom put together a whole thing for the birthday extravaganza
whose birthday?
Mine.
The two finest folks in the studio right now in your presence.
Both of you have the same birthday?
No.
No, they're a few days apart.
A couple of days apart.
The best one is first.
You know, if I was you, Holly, I don't know if I would be admitting this at the moment.
The best one is first?
Yeah, the best one is first. The best one is first. Okay, the best one is on the 9th. And
you're going to actually announce real birthdays on air?
I do not have a problem telling people when my birthday is.
Well, I do because, you know, birthday and eventually get your address and then your Social Security number and pretty soon you've got an account with Home Shopping Network.
They'll never know that it was really 1927 for you, Bill.
Oh, that's true.
Just the day.
Yeah.
Only the 12-year-old he dates knows for sure.
Two years after you were born.
Yeah, that's
true.
That is true. I am older. That is true. Yeah.
I want to publicly say you've been working here on the show, what, 5 months now? 4 months? 5 months? Something like that?
Since May.
And I will publicly say, and I don't say this very often, but I will say this, that the show has never run smoother than it has while you've been here.
Wow.
Guests being scheduled, things being done in order. Yeah.
Yay.
Yeah. It has never run smoother. And so I expect you to continue to exceed and excel and you know, coffee ready when I walk in and chair pulled out and all of that stuff.
I'm not going to be Holly's dating service. You can get your own
women. No. I respect your husband way too much for that. He's you know, I even enjoy when he comes into the studio to give us all a hard time. I'm supposed to, oh my gosh, no, I'm sorry. He's restricted.
Talk to my friend.
How do you know who's on the line? Can you see that all the way over there?
I can see that from over here. I've got great eyesight.
Hey, former friend, how you doing?
Hey, Bill, how are you today?
I'm doing just fine. I'm just sitting here picking notes down on my piece of paper, plotting what I'm going to do to you.
And, he smelled the donuts.
You know, I tuned in a little bit earlier. I thought I heard something.
Yeah, I thought you did too. Yeah. I thought you set something up. That's two now. You got to keep going because, you know, you're just digging that hole deeper. I was telling the people on the air that, you know, I know where you work. I know where you live. I know what you drive. I mean, well, that's just not practical for you to be doing that.
Well, you know, a lot more scary people than you have told me that for 29 years.
Yeah.
So okay.
Yeah, and they mean a lot. They mean a lot worse. They mean a lot worse to you than I do.
They do.
Yeah.
They do.
I was speaking to a mutual friend of yours the other day. The big toe has retired.
He has
retired. He has turned in his equipment. He will be starting next week on the Neptune Beach Police Department as a rookie. He did 30 years with JSO and turns around and starts over again with a new department as a rookie.
Wow.
Well, good for him. Good for him.
But, you know, it brings up something, though, Steve, that the brain drain and the years of experience that we're losing in the Jacksonville Sheriff's Office is scary.
It is. It's been going on. You could trace it back about 10 years, Bill, when, you know, and all of the upheaval started over the pension, all the experience and the institutional knowledge started walking out the door.
Yeah. Last night, we talk about some people seem to believe that Jacksonville is the OK Corral. But last night, Saturday night, in Chicago, Illinois, there were, when I took the count, the tally earlier today, 51 shootings in one night.
Oh, my gosh.
In one town. in Chicago, of which 17 ended in deaths in one night in one town. Now, Chicago is a lot of towns surrounding the core.
Right.
But the core of Chicago had 51 shootings last night. 17 were fatal.
My God.
Pales in comparison to what we get here in Jacksonville. But yet, there is a great deal of emphasis being placed on it. For what reason, Steve? Why does it seem to be hyped so badly here?
I think the emphasis needs to be placed on it so we don't get to the point of a Chicago. I think we need to be proactive. I think we need to add the resources that the sheriff and mayor want. By any measure, we're severely understaffed here in Jacksonville. So I think if we continue to place the emphasis on the early intervention, the education, the quality of life, and law enforcement all at the same time, I think we'll keep ourselves from becoming another Chicago.
Steve, you know, I talk with people all the time. In fact, anybody that knows me, including yourself, knows that I don't have a problem talking.
We all agree there, Bill.
The one thing that I had an opportunity to speak to folks about in Jacksonville and some of my workers on the tree company is when I talk to young African Americans, I ask them point blank, do African Americans as a whole just absolutely hate the police, hate the popo, they say. And almost to a man, anyone I've ever asked says maybe not hate, but certainly dislike, certainly distrust. And I've gone so far as to say, how do you change that? And I have a guy who works for me named Mike. He's an African American fellow. He lives in Springfield. Good guy, college educated. But he said, you're just not going to change it. No matter what, the African Americans in our country will always feel as though they're targeted by the police. Do you agree, Steve?
I don't believe that. I mean, I truly believe that there's perceptions, you know, that are different than mine, obviously, because I didn't grow up African American. I think the way you beat this, Bill, is you've seen it here in Jacksonville. You've seen these groups, and I won't even acknowledge your name, but you've seen these groups that habitually preach false narratives about police, no matter what it is. And I think we need to get past that. I think if we're going to talk about race relations here in Jacksonville or anyplace else in the country, you have to be willing to, number one, listen, and number two, get past all those false narratives. If we allow that to continue, and I think you see it here in our community, they're tired of it. They're tired of those false narratives. Get past that, start a real dialogue between law enforcement and the African-American community. I think you can get past that.
You know,
That's where the early intervention part comes in, Bill. We get involved in all the kids' lives in our community, you know, white, black, Hispanic, at an early age, and you can help to beat that.
For those of you that are listening, we just picked up the phone, started talking to Steve like he was the guy next door. Never really told the listeners this. The gentleman on the line right now is the director of the FOP here, the union boss for lack of another word, Steve Zona, and former JSO officer here in town, elected, moved up through the ranks and elected by the ranks to be their representative of the union body. And unequivocally, all of the posts that I've seen, even excluding the ones that I believe that you've probably paid for, most of your rank and file actually seem to genuinely like you and think you're doing a good job. In fact, I saw a post the other day, and this is a straight post. This is not Bill Hay joking around. I saw a guy the other day say that in all his time on the police department, and he said he was a 28-year veteran of the Jacksonville Sheriff's Office, you were the best union boss he had ever seen. What are you doing different, Steve? What is it? Is it just being more active, or is it listening to the guys, or why are you – I know you personally, and I'm just trying to figure out why they think you're so much better. Well, I think you're a great guy personally. I don't know you because I haven't worked with you. So
I can't take all the credit, Bill. What I always say is we've got a really great team. It's not Steve Zona all by himself. We've got an elected board of 20 members. who I rely heavily on for their input and their experience. And, you know, when situations come up, it's not a one-man show.
Has it been in the past? Has it tended to be in the past?
I wouldn't say that. I just think in any business, whether you're, you know, in the private sector or government, people have different ways of doing things and different ways of accomplishing things. I think we've become a little bit more proactive. I think we've tried to get involved in the community a little bit more. And I think when situations arise like they have in Jacksonville with those groups who will remain nameless, I think we take a proactive approach and try to make sure that our side of the story and the truth actually gets out there instead of letting it breed.
All right. You've been listening to Steve Zona calling in to give me a hard time, and from time to time actually put in some sincere words of wisdom. Steve, I'd like to get you to hold over for the break if you could. I've got a few questions I'd like to ask you. If you have got time, just hang on. All right. I appreciate it. We're going to get right back to Steve in just a couple of minutes. If you'd like to reach us by phone, you can. 222-TALK, 222-8255. You can send me a message. I'm going to get to these 20-plus messages here in just a minute, and I'm going to debunk something that was listed on the internet about the number of convicted felons that are currently in the National Football League. A little bit of disinformation, and we're going to clean that up when we get back. If you'd like to reach me by mail, you can. Bill@600wbob.com. Bill@600wbob.com. We're going to step away for just a couple of minutes, and we'll be right back. Join us, won't you?
Welcome back, my friends, to the show that never ends. We're so glad you could attend. Come inside, come inside. Come inside, the show's about to start. Guaranteed to blow your head apart.
It's time for I'm Speaking Plainly, the show that lets you get in on the conversation. Call now, 904-222-TALK. And now, here's your host, Bill Hay.
Good evening, Jack. Are you old enough to remember that song, Karen? Well, you're old enough to remember Beethoven's Fifth Symphony when it was still...
Wait a minute. I am not the same age as Woody. Let's just remember this.
Oh, he's not even here to defend himself. That's that's Carnival 9 from Emerson, Lake & Palmer. It's a classic.
Yeah.
That was great music when I was in high school. Thank you, Tom, for that musical selection. Going down, someone, one of the 20-plus comments that we had, someone asked me to redirect over to the statement earlier about the number of teams in the NFL, 32 times 53 players on the active list, 1,696 total players. They thought that 871 were felons. That's 871 back going through time in all of the NFL. Not currently. Today there are 32 current convicted felons on team rosters around the United States. And in addition, there are 304 players that are on probation or community service. So that's a much easier figure to understand. And a lot of these guys get DUIs or with the fellow Blackman that we paid millions of dollars to, and he never played because he got a cocaine conviction in Arkansas and a DUI somewhere else, and he was put on waivers, and we had to keep him on the team. And, you know, that's really... I don't understand why when someone messes up that badly that the NFL forces you to keep them on the team.
I don't either. If they had any brains, they'd be changing the way these contracts are written in a lot of ways.
For a whole lot less money, for sure.
Yeah.
I've had a lot of these comments that came in today. We're still trying to digest the quasi-apology that came forth from the Jaguars.
Mm-hmm.
My personal take on it is that just don't let them send out a memo and then all of a sudden we're all warm and fuzzy and everything's okay, because that's not true. They were in a foreign country.
Yeah.
They represent our city.
Yeah.
And they go and disrespect a Navy town.
Right.
On foreign soil, and then have the audacity to stand for God Save the Queen.
Yeah, that's...
Which, by the way, is a terrible song. If you listen to the lyrics of that song, it is absolutely terrible. But I am so proud of myself because I turned football off that Sunday morning at about 9:35 when they were doing it, and I just turned it off, and I haven't turned it back on since. And I I don't miss it. You know, there were, three games today? There was another game in Europe today, and then actually four games, then two middle-of-the-day games, and then another game late tonight. I don't miss it.
That's good.
I'm good with it.
That's good.
You can get so much more done during the course of a day.
Yes.
Now, I will tell you that for the first time in my life, outside of the Florida-Georgia game, which I've followed all my life, this is the first time I've really followed college ball a lot. So, all right, let's go back let's go back to our guest on the line, Cream Puff. Cream Puff and Cupcake. That's a new cop drama.
Oh my gosh.
We could be on the Fox Channel. We could be Lethal Weapon and be Cream Puff and Cupcake. New cop drama.
I think I got a bad connection here.
Yeah. Actually, for all the people that you keep setting up to call me Cupcake, I had one of your buddies come forward and say that you kind of are known for being the cream puff around the Jacksonville Sheriff's Office. So that's going to be
fascinating.
That'll be your new nickname. You know, I will tell you that a lot of great officers out there on JSO, and I can't even list all of the ones that I know personally on a first name basis who razz me just about as badly as you do. And I know that all of them are in one way or another thinking and looking forward to their retirement. And that's kind of odd for me, because generally police officers become police officers and they just want to stay being police officers. I talked with Hugo, who is retired now, so I can mention his name, but he wanted to be a police officer with JSO for the rest of his life, or at least until he couldn't do it anymore. But the uncertainty of the pension made him think that he would lose his money if he didn't get out when he did. And now, even more so, he's concerned that the mayor may be trying to jumble around with the figures a little bit for those guys that have already retired. And this may rear its head up again. Is that true, Steve?
Well, I mean, two things. I always say, look, the pension reform that happened this year, it's over with. I'm not going to go back and rehash it. It is what it is. Do I think it's going to work? I don't know. Do I hope it's going to work? I hope so, because this agency has been very good to me and my family for 29 years. I do have concerns about it, though. But what we agreed to at the table is written into a contract that's good for at least 3 years. So I don't see any jumbling with the numbers or messing with the pension for 3 years, and we got to go back to the table 3 years from actually today, October 1st.
Hmm. How long do those negotiations take?
It just depends. I mean, you could, those negotiations we started in November of 2016, and we didn't finish until March of 17.
Okay.
That was strictly for wages and pension. Now, October 20th, we go back to the table with the city for insurance and all the remaining work rules that govern our job.
Okay. So the contract negotiations going forth in another 3 years, we're looking at not as much turmoil that has been taking place over the last 7 or 8 years that I can remember. You're talking about you'll go into negotiations and probably within 6 months you'll have another 3-year contract, the maximum amount allowed under collective bargaining here in Jacksonville or here in Florida.
Sure. There's actually a clause written into this current contract that if certain economic factors are met at the end of the first 3 years, that we don't have to talk about pension. It's an automatic 3-year renewal with the same pension deal we have on the table now. If those economic factors are not met, then we have to go back to the table and discuss pension with the city. That doesn't mean they'll change it. However, they'll have an opportunity to try to change it if they want to.
Okay. All right, so now we've seen some things pop up. We've seen ShotSpotter has popped up. Can you state whether or not it's been successful in working anywhere it's been deployed around the city?
You know, I truthfully don't have any statistics on those for you, Bill, but I'll get them, and maybe next week I'll try to give you a holler back.
Wow. Oh, gosh. Something to look forward to. All right. Well, the next thing, I guess, going forward is, where do we stand on body cameras? I know that Sheriff Williams was on the show a couple of weeks ago, and he indicated that the body camera issue was going to be rolled out as a test case coming up here shortly. What the union behind that? Have we picked a camera, picked something that everybody can live with?
No, they're still in the test phase on different cameras. And, you know, our unfair labor practice we filed against the city, it's pretty much over. The hearing officer ruled that it's a mandatory subject of collective bargaining. So when we go back to the table in October, the city will have to collectively bargain the policies and procedures, some of them that relate to discipline, when you turn them on and off, privacy issues and everything like that. It has to be that hearing officer's ruling has to be confirmed by the commission, by the Public Employees Relation Commission. But after that hearing officer's ruling, we filed an exception saying that we felt like the body-worn camera should not be on any of the police officers until we negotiate the policy. So we've asked the commission as a whole to tell the sheriff to take them off until we can negotiate the policy. And that ruling should come out sometime in October.
All right. Well, I look forward to you coming forward and updating me. How long does your term as union boss, are you term limited in any way?
Well, I'm a union boss if I don't support your candidate, but I'm the president if you guys have my endorsement. That's the way it works. That's the way it works in the political world.
But wow. Okay.
My term actually ends in December, so I'll be up for re-election in December.
And is there a term limit, Steve? Or is...
No, sir. You can run so long as the members wish to have you in office.
So I could possibly get a few of them together and make the appropriate donations to the charity of their course, and Cream Puff would be on the streets again.
Yeah.
I wouldn't do that to
you,
buddy.
You would probably be doing me a favor.
No. You love that job. I wouldn't do that to you. I really wouldn't. Steve Zona with us here on I'm Speaking Plainly. Guaranteed to be back next week with some much-needed information. Steve, thanks for being a friend of the show, and more importantly, thanks for being my buddy. I appreciate it. Take care, man.
Take care, bro.
Great guy. He really is, and he deserves all the compliments that the guys are giving. And that was serious. There were report after report, comment after comment of what a great job he's doing as the union leader here. You're listening to I'm Speaking Plainly. Phone lines are open. 222-TALK, 222-8255. News of the day when we get back.
Let's get back to I'm Speaking Plainly.
What you got to say?
To join the conversation, call 222-TALK.
Say, hey, hey, hey.
That's 222-8255.
What you got to say?
Once again, here's Bill
Hay. Jesus. Really?
The folks in this audience knew what was discussed, he was checking messages. He was not checking email. I'm not going to tell the audience what you were doing, but the guys will love you for it.
Yes,
and the women will
true.
Hate you for it.
You know, I was checking email from time to time, and I was actually...
the attention span
of a gnat.
He loves that Playboy Weather Channel.
Yeah, exactly.
Ba-dum-bum.
Thank you.
And you guys are all wrong. All right, so I was looking
for... Ooh,
through,
shiny thing.
Squirrel.
I was going down some of the list here. That, you know, earlier today on Facebook, the Jaguars put out a message, and many, many people have copied it. I know you copied it, Karen. And so I was going down the list, and of this particular, a lot of people copied it over and over again.
Yeah, yeah.
But this particular one had 41 replies, and of the 41 replies, only 3 of the 41 were, I'm in favor of giving them a second chance.
Mm-hmm.
The rest were all, nope, not watching anymore, nope, I'm done with them. One guy even wrote on there, nope, the Jaguars are dead to me.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's the ultimate. When you tell somebody, you're dead to me.
That's
like the ultimate Italian thing up in New York. You're dead to me.
Yeah, you're dead to me.
Yeah. So, I said, I didn't watch the game today, but apparently it was some of the same old stuff again,
some of
the same old mistakes, and once again, they lost.
Did they?
Yeah. Ticket sales are down around the country, and the website, Boycott the NFL, has apparently had over 100, I'm trying to read it here now, 127,000 likes.
Wow.
Just since they formed last week, you know, for someone like Rush Limbaugh or some of the other people, 127,000 likes in a week is, you know, that's kind of a drop in the bucket. But for an upstart thing like Boycott the NFL, 127,000 likes, that's a lot of people that are intending to boycott the NFL on Sunday, November the 12th.
And people are fed up with things, and they're fed up with this nonsense.
We have a show on the actual Veterans Day, the 11th day of the 11th month, will be a regular show for us, and I'm going to be doing a veterans event here at the Salem Center.
That's wonderful.
So in the parking lot, we're going to have some vendors here. We're going to have and there'll be some prizes and some things for people that bring in their NFL gear and they want to throw it away. We talked about putting together a big operation, a thing to where we could burn NFL gear, because they did that in dozens of places around the country.
Yeah.
Dozens of places. But then it became an issue that most of these are made out of synthetic plastics and synthetic fabrics, and the toxic fumes would just not be good for the environment or for those people standing around.
Yeah, that's true.
Secured a guy who's willing to donate a huge commercial shredder.
Oh, wow.
But the station is the folks that own the property are not interested in being that controversial with having NFL stuff shredded on property. So we're working out some other more ingenious ways to get rid of NFL gear. And you know what? There'll be a day when I'll go back to watching football, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
At some point in time. But probably never with the luster that I did before. I was a major Cowboys fan, major Minnesota Vikings fan, major Green Bay Packers fan. I even liked Aaron Rodgers. You know, I'm a big Brett Favre guy. But, you know, when Aaron Rodgers did his Black Panther salute in front of the police officers as he was walking into the... And first of all, a white guy doing a Black Panther salute in front of a bunch of state troopers.
Kind of lame, huh?
Yeah, it's just... It just doesn't work. It doesn't work. There's a radio broadcaster, a female radio broadcaster around Jacksonville here who, you know, I speak white. I mean, we have certain... I speak Southern white, and we have certain tones and inflections and things, and Holly says y'all a lot.
She does.
I still haven't gotten used to hearing y'all come out, but then the black community has their own tones and inflections and things, like they use the word bay. It took me for the longest time to figure out bay wasn't a body of water. It's your boyfriend or your best friend.
Oh, I never knew that.
Yeah. And then, you know, boo, that's your boo-boo, your best friend, your lover, your boo.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so there's a young lady here in town, a Caucasian broadcaster, who speaks in that term and inflection and tonality and vocabulary. Mm-hmm. And it's so odd. It just doesn't work.
Well, did she grow up in go to school
You would think that with the tone and inflection, you would think that she grew up in Colonial Arms or any of the other, you know, Northwest Springfield. But she didn't. She grew up in a gated community over here in the South Side. It's what works for her.
Yeah.
But it's just odd. If I started talking like Arthur Crofton from one of the other television or radio stations here in town, it wouldn't work.
Well, no, because it wouldn't be authentic, and you probably wouldn't carry it off very well.
No, I can't do that English stuff.
Yeah,
very well, and I can't do Holly's y'all either. Y'all,
everybody's. But you know, I mean, that's true. I mean, I grew up in the Midwest, in the North Midwest, and then I moved to Oklahoma, and there, it wasn't so much different terminology, but wasn't quite that long ago. But I couldn't understand a word they said, not a word. I mean, I had a terrible time the first month in enrolled in high school there because I couldn't understand anybody. But then as time wore on, you know, I got the slang down and I was good, and then a year and a half later I moved back to the Midwest and nobody could understand a word I was saying.
That's the way it goes. So I had someone who brought up a topic. He said, you started the evening off talking about the mayor in Puerto Rico, And can you tell me how this works out that Puerto Rico is part of the United States, but it's not a state? It is okay. I can, Stacy. It is a
territory.
Territory. It's a territory. And Stacy, I'm not making fun of you because nothing on Facebook tells me how old you are. And the picture that you have there is of a flower, so I can't get an idea of how old you are. You could be a young high school student, so I will speak to you as such. It is a territory of the United States. Guam is also a territory of the United States. It is you are considered an American citizen if you live in either of those two places. But it is not considered a state. Several times Puerto Rico has tried to obtain statehood. I think a lot of the pushback from that is that 50 is just such a good number. Yeah, you know, you talk to congressmen and senators about the idea of having the 51st state. First of all, it screws up the flag completely.
That's true. You have to redo all the flags.
Because there would be always one that would be out of a row.
It's true.
And I had this discussion with my father when he was still alive, because I have my father's. My father had a 48-star flag because he was born in 1918. Mm-hmm. So imagine the frustration that occurred with my dad, who was a young man, and then up through the 40s, you know, there was a 48-star flag. And then all of a sudden, boom, they want to add Alaska and Hawaii.
Yep.
And a lot of people don't understand that in World War II, Hawaii, you know, they bombed Pearl Harbor, which was our Navy base there.
Right.
But Hawaii wasn't a state.
Right.
You know, it would be like them bombing Guantanamo Bay in Cuba. It's not they bombed our military base. They didn't bomb our state.
Right.
They had to change the flag and went to the 50. And I think in at least in all of the people that are in this studio right now, I don't see us being anything other than 50 states until I'm gone.
Yeah, well, I know some of the big problems with adding Puerto Rico as a state was the vote that they took in Puerto Rico. The biggest concern was having to pay taxes.
Right.
You know, yes, I would like to have some of the advantages, but I don't really want to pay taxes.
Well, think about the representation gets thrown off in Washington.
Right. A lot of changes.
So a lot of changes. It goes from even nice, normal, even numbers to you know, you're going to get two more senators out of it. You'll get some more representation depending on how Puerto Rico, I don't even know if they're set up with counties or
no
districts.
No idea.
So, I don't think it's going to happen. So that's the answer there, Stacy. It is a republic of the United States and gets all the protections. But, you don't get to shop at Walmart and you don't have to pay taxes. So
that's right.
There you go. You're listening to I'm Speaking Plainly. I'm your host, Bill Hay. I'm going to get to the rest of these 31 comments. And I promise I'm not going to let the girls distract me while we're going.
Yeah,
and
we were distracting you.
Out of those 31 comments, then I will get something good going. Phone lines are open, 222-TALK, 222-8255. We're going to step away for just a couple of minutes, and we'll be right back. Facebook is open, and I see, 33 comments now. You guys just calm down. I'll get to you in just a minute. This is I'm Speaking Plenty. I'm your host, Bill Hay. We'll be right back.